Blog Talk Radio.
April 27, 2011, Washington, D.C., planet Earth, third planet from the sun. I missed a step there. Wait a minute. Let's start that over. April 27, 2011, Washington, D.C., the United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. Got it. I'm back. Yeah, this is my second show since being on vacation, and I had a really great time. But I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back home because there really is no place like home, and I'll click my heels three times. Anyway, tonight's show, wow. I have, as is indicated in my show description, an advanced copy of the new book, the bombshell book. Oh, my goodness. I have it right here in my formerly calloused fingers from playing Xbox Fight Night Round 4. I have it right here. The new book. Oh, where's the birth certificate? The case that Barack Obama is not eligible to be president. Now, I know you'd say, well, you know, he really put this whole thing to bed. He really put it all to rest today when he put it out there. He put the long form birth certificate out there. Hell, I don't even have that. I mean, who's to say that I was born here? I don't even have that. He put it out there. I wonder if it's going to silence some folks. But according to the author, after this morning's surprise release by the White House of what it claims, is Barack Obama's long-form birth certificate, an author challenging Obama's legal eligibility to be president, Jerome Corsi, Ph.D., whose upcoming book has become a number one bestseller a month before its release, summarizes his response to the day's events in two words: Obama blinked. I have the book right here. Did I mention that? I have a copy, an advanced copy here, signed by the author, because, you know, we PhDs, well, we kind of stick together and we give each other stuff for free. And I got this book, an advanced copy, for free. Yes. All right. Right here. And I tell you what, I haven't had time to read much of the book. I'm turning the pages right now, and I'm actually salivating. I'm salivating right now. I need a bib. Hold on a minute. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at the contents right here in the introduction. I have a copy. According to Jerome Corsi, whose two previous number one New York Times bestsellers, Unfit for Command and The Obama Nation, both have dramatically affected the presidency, is the author of the forthcoming book, the book I have right here. Now, the Drudge Report last week advertised this book. And then after the Drudge Report advertised this fine piece of work that I have right here in my hand, right here, it shot up. It shot up to be the nation's hottest selling book 3 weeks before its official debut. And I, once again, have a copy right here. That's the last time I'm going to do that. I'm going to say that. Suggesting that Obama's presidency, he's suggesting that even with this output of the birth certificate, finally, after 2 years of folks asking, he still suggests public pressure finally forced Obama to do what he did today. Now the game begins. Nixon thought he could stop the Watergate scandal from unfolding by releasing a few tapes, and all that did was fuel the fire. And how right he is. He also suggests that Obama's presidency will not survive the revelations contained in this book. Mike Tesler, how you doing? American Citizens here. Beach Bum 55, I love that name. You're here. I got the book right here. Yeah. He suggested the presidency will not survive the revelations contained in the book, which goes beyond the birth certificate controversy. That's just the title. To definitively document the multiple legal problems with Obama being a U.S. president. Now, Corsi said, and I tried to get him on the phone today, couldn't get a hold of him because he is hot. He is hot and he is in demand. First caller on the line. Talk about it. Hey, caller, this is you're on the air with the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report.
Yeah, I just want to say that someone did a Photoshop on this birth certificate, and they're saying that it's a fake. It's on the internet now.
Have the bloggers gotten a hold of it?
Yeah, somebody has done Photoshops on it already.
Oh, my goodness.
They're saying that basically it's they're going through an edit with it, and it appears that someone took the certificate of live birth and put it on a birth certificate form.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're saying that the form is layered.
Oh.
Because they were able to Photoshop the form and the certificate of live birth can be like superimposed
mm-hmm.
on the birth certificate type paper. So they're saying that the documents are fake.
So what Obama did was he didn't actually, you know, squelch this controversy. He only put fuel on the fire, just like Dr. Corsi indicated that he would.
Yeah, it's saying that they imported the original file from the White House, and they imported the original form from the White House, and they merged the certificate of live birth with the birth certificate paper.
Mm-hmm.
And you can basically, the two images are superimposed on one another.
Wow.
But it's saying that the document is a fake on the internet right now. And they can't interview the doctor because the doctor is deceased.
Yep. I read that.
So I don't know. I mean, I find it very suspicious that they would take all this time to issue a document. But one thing, you know, I happen to know people that have worked in academics, and they have sat on, like, the admissions committee at the University of Pennsylvania and at
yeah.
Georgetown University.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what the requirements are for different schools.
Yeah.
And I read the autobiography that he did about his life when he described his years at Occidental, and he described his years in high school. And there's no way that he would have qualified to go into an Ivy League university.
So do you suggest, like so many others do, that this goes as Dr. Corsi indicates, that this goes far beyond this. I can't even think of the right word at the moment. All of this is going far beyond just his birth certificate.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of fraud in this because, like I said, I've known people who have sat on the admissions committee
mm-hmm.
or at University of Pennsylvania. Like, I know of a man, like, he's a professor at UMass now, and
yep.
he got his PhD from Penn, and he was on the admissions committee for Penn. And
okay.
I know what the requirements are for, like, Harvard and, like, a place like Cornell, or like a place like a Columbia. And so there are certain requirements. And unless you are like a celebrity or you have a lot of alumni in your family, do they make, in that particular university, do they make any type of exception? With
yeah.
Obama's case, he only had one parent that had attended Harvard, meaning that he didn't have like a long type of legacy of people in his family that were of like people who had been in the Ivy League. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes they don't even recognize that. They recognize people who have contributed large sums of money, like actually to the university. They may make some exceptions for their children, but they don't always make like any type of an exception for a person whose father happened to be like an alumnus or their mother happened to be like an alumnus. So,
but
you know,
a citizen, this sounds an awful lot like a vast conspiracy to put Barack Obama in office so that he could manipulate the system and, as he put it, fundamentally transform the United States of America. Even I find this that hard to digest. I find that hard to believe. I mean, based on what you're saying, you believe that is exactly the case, and it's indicated here. I mean, you're not alone, because it's indicated here in another bestseller that I happen to have right here on my desk by Aaron
right.
Klein, called The Manchurian President, which
right.
I haven't really gotten really deep into, but this book by this well-known author, and this book is a bestseller. It was on the bestseller list for 14 weeks, called the Manchurian President suggest exactly what you and others have been suggesting regarding Barack Obama's lineage, his presidency, and everything that goes along with it.
Right. Well, for him to seal all of his records, now Trump is asking for the academic record, and I think that's very important because it may say on the academic record that he received financial aid as a foreign student, meaning he might have had a Fulbright scholarship or something to that effect, and his sense that he was an Indonesian citizen may be on financial aid forms from Columbia University. So that's why that particular school is hiding its records, because they may have financial aid forms where it says that he's an Indonesian citizen and that he is eligible for financial aid because he's a foreign student. So that's a possibility as well. But the main possibility is if we see his grades, and like I said, his father was an alumnus of Harvard, but sometimes on those admission committees, they don't always recognize you if you just have one parent who's an alumnus of Ivy League school. I mean, you have to have like almost a dynasty in your family and people who have actually given large sums of money to the school. Do they make any type of exception with your application? So he would have to meet the same requirements as everybody else. And according to what his autobiography says, he didn't have the grades to go to the first Ivy League school he went to. And then we don't know what his grades were there. And then for him to go from there to Harvard Law, and then for him to be the president of Harvard Law Review and not write any law review articles, I mean, that's just amazing that he was able to do all of that. And like and like Trump said, I mean, he's evidently had a very charmed life.
Yeah, would have to be extremely charged, charmed, and indeed scripted. I'm having a hard time coming to terms with the fact that this may all be it would have to be a really big conspiracy managed over decades in an effort to put this guy in position to become president of the United States for a variety of reasons. You know, the author stated today, he said that the White House actions today raised more questions than it answers. He went on to say that Obama spent a fortune on attorneys to block release of this document. He wants to know why. And then he said the same attorneys are still blocking release of many other vital documents, his school, medical, passports, and other documents routinely released by all presidents, but steadfastly hidden by Obama. Will he now release those as well? And also, he asked, why did Obama withhold the birth document that had been legally requested by an Army doctor, Terrence Larkin? But instead, Obama watched him be court-martialed and imprisoned over that very issue. Did anyone know that? I mean, did you know that?
I had realized that someone had been court-martialed over this issue, yes.
Yeah. Court-martialed over the issue. And also, Dr. Corsi is calling for the immediate release of Lieutenant Colonel Terrence Larkin, the Army flight surgeon who is now sitting in prison because Obama wouldn't produce his birth certificate. And and indeed, if Obama's going to go ahead and put it out there right now, then, you know, I believe that the colonel should be exonerated.
Right. Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, he should be exonerated because he waited so long to, you know, release the document, and there were questions in among a lot of people about, you know, whether he was born in the country, and he waits until almost his final year of his term to actually, you know, to actually let the public see the document.
Well, I'm not. I can't speak to why he did it at this time. I think he outsmarted himself on this move, and I think that you know, this is, as Mike states in the chat room, that this is making more and more controversy and drawing more and more attention to the issue. You know, President Obama should have never done this. It sounds like Mike is lamenting President Obama's decision, because Mike is starting to feel a little bit sorry for President Obama. But I tell you what, the guy thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and as I have proven in other blog talk radio shows, there is no such thing as the smartest guy in the room. And apparently, this is just adding more and more and more and more fuel to the fire. Hold on, citizen. We have another call on the line. You stay with us. Caller.
Hello there.
Hey.
Hi, Robert. Ooh. This is Tesler.
Hey, Tesler. Glad to have you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about this controversy from today that strikes me is something called the chain of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have heard of that in you know, these crime shows and things of this nature. But one of the concept of the chain of evidence is to make sure that when evidence is presented in court, that whoever was the custodian of this evidence did not somehow contaminate the evidence. And,
yeah,
and all lawyers are entitled to know what the chain of evidence is when that evidence is presented in a court of law. Now, this birth certificate, so-called birth certificate, has been presented in the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
Now, as everybody knows, in Hawaii, there is a statute that provides that they cannot release the birth certificate at all, not
mm-hmm.
even to a person who was born, who wants it. Now, there are exceptions, and apparently there's a person there who is no longer the custodian of these records, but she said that she received a letter from Barack Obama requesting the release and requesting an exemption. Well, first of all, I'd like to see that letter.
Yeah.
And then number two, I'd like to see, how did this custodian copy this so-called birth certificate? Was it a photocopy? Was it a picture, a graphic? Number three, how did this graphic or copy get distributed or conveyed to Mr. Obama? And then finally, how did Mr. Obama, who's supposed to be in possession of this document because he was the requester and it was, the exemption was granted to him, how did he, who did he send this copy to in order to have it released to the press? In other
yeah.
words, there are several stops along the way that at any one point, this so-called record or copy of a record could have been changed. So I'd like to know the chain of custody here and who had custody of whatever it was that was released today, because I understand that there's some people who are questioning it from a Photoshop standpoint and all this kind of graphic stuff. I'm no graphics expert, so I don't know. But
yeah.
I'd like to know, how is it they got this and who held it until it was finally released? That, I mean, that's just one question I have about this. Go ahead.
You know what? It's all over. I'm looking at the blogs right now, and I hadn't done so before the show, but it's all over the blogs right now. A lot of the major blogs are saying that, you know, the president's President Obama's long form birth certificate is a fake document. It's all over YouTube. You know what? I suggest that if it's fake or not, it doesn't really matter, because the guy just poured more fuel onto the fire. It doesn't matter in terms of him putting, whether he put it out there, I would say. I mean, I qualify that. Because, you know, frankly, he should never have put it out there. I'm glad that he did. But it has only fueled the fire. You're exactly right, Tesler, about the chain of custody of all that. It should have been done out in the open, and it should have been done properly, to put a picture of it out there or to put it on the White House webpage or whatever isn't enough. It doesn't answer any real questions. And you're going to have people out there who are going to make up a conspiracy about it anyway, you know, whether
right
or wrong, you know, whether it's real or fake won't really matter to a lot of people. But in order to put the best, you know, to quell to quell any real doubt, he should have done it a lot differently than the way he did it, because right now it's just making a big mess out of things. And Mike is exactly right. Guy shouldn't have done it. It makes no sense whatsoever. And we have Dr. Corsi, who sent me the book, by the way. I called his office, got it right here in my hand. And I'm going to read it tonight. I'm going to stay up all night. I drank a lot. As you can probably tell, I drank a lot of espresso. I'm wired. I'm ready to go. I'm talking real fast. I'm starting to sweat. I can tell you right now, I'm really up all night reading this book. And I'm really glad that he sent it to me. But what do you have to say about it, American Citizen?
Yeah, well, like I said, I think it's a lot of fraud in this situation. I think that the record being sealed the way it has from the very beginning should have raised a lot of questions with a lot of voters. And I think that the next step would be to try to get the academic record, because I think if they got financial aid forms from Occidental or from Columbia University or even maybe from Harvard Law, but I think he may have changed his name by the time he got to Harvard Law. But I think if they got the ones from Occidental and also the ones that may come from the Ivy League school that he attended in New York, I think it would show that he's an Indonesian citizen.
Well, let me ask you, Tesler, why do you think this is all coming to a head right now? I mean, it's been two years.
But it's been an issue for years, you're correct. And I think there's a certain Machiavellian approach that the president has used to this birth certificate thing, because he had the press on his side. The press was constantly making fun of anybody who questioned this until Donald Trump came along. Now, I'm not going to say that, you know, that's the best thing that happened, that Donald was the best thing that happened. But the fact of the matter is, there's been no other candidate or potential candidate, no other politician who has been able to handle the birther issue with the amount of gravitas that Donald Trump did. And so all of a sudden, as Rush Limbaugh said today on his radio show, the polls began to show people were listening to Mr. Trump. And I do believe that this release, whether you believe the document or not, The release of this document is based entirely upon the polls, that people were taking Mr. Trump's assertions very seriously. And the White House said, we can't have that. We've got to release something. And so essentially what happened, as Rush Limbaugh said, the president of the United States got crushed by a celebrity apprentice host.
Yeah.
Now, what's going to happen when Iran decides to put that kind of pressure on our president?
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. I think that all throughout the last 2 years, when this issue has been simmering just beneath the surface, every once in a while it'd come up, and then the person who brings it up will be shouted down or dismissed as a loon or a kook, you know, or maybe a partisan, you know. And now you have but now you have Donald Trump, who is, if not, you know, if not admired, it's simply respected for his business acumen. All his business is already out there. There is nothing out there that I can think of. There's nothing out there that can be revealed about Donald that most likely hasn't already been revealed. He's a smart guy. You know, he's respected. He's a businessman. All of that. He brings up the issue, and then all of a sudden, folks really start to take it seriously. And that's when Barack Obama had to take it seriously. And like the author of the book said, Obama blinked.
He did blink. You're right. He did blink. And here's what and I think one of the reasons why he did. One of the reasons why I think Trump is attractive to a lot of people is because of the economy, of all things. Now, when you think of a businessman in the world, one of the people you think of is Ford. Another one you think of is Trump. And there are several others that you can think of who are experts when it comes to business and the economy, budgets, dealing with unions, dealing with this and that, and all the things we've been talking about for the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Trump comes along in his flamboyant way, and people look at him and say, well, you know, this guy's a businessman. He's got a lot of hotels, this guy. You know, he's had to deal with budgets and unions and things like
mm-hmm.
that. So
mm-hmm.
when he speaks about the economy, when he speaks about how crappy the United States relationship is with China and other economic issues, people will listen. Obama is not perceived as a heavyweight when it comes to the economics of America. Trump is perceived as a heavyweight. That is, I think, one of the reasons why he's appealed. He has such appeal.
He's not considered to be a heavyweight anywhere, maybe not even for his own wife. Citizen, jump in here.
Well, I think the reason why he had to release the document is because Trump did put pressure on him by going to the different networks, and like what was already said, Trump has a lot of clout in the business world. So therefore, there would be, you know, probably important people who would take him seriously, and that's the reason why his document was released now.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's all a big old mess. I can't wait to read the book. There's so much stuff out here. The author is raising questions in the book. Just skimming over it, documentation for Obama's career, verification that remains concealed, including his passport records, kindergarten records, school records, Occidental College records, Columbia University records, Columbia thesis, Harvard Law School records, Harvard Law Review articles, University of Chicago articles. So, the list goes on and on of documents and articles and bona fides that have been concealed, hidden, or just are not there. Why is that? I mean, when George Bush ran for the presidency, his records were out there. We knew that he was a C average student. You know, just barely that, and it was the ballyhoo and the pundits were out there, and all they could talk about was that George Bush was not a very good student, and that the only reason why he got into the schools he got into was because of his daddy, and you know all of that stuff. But and you know, to be fair and balanced, like my favorite network, maybe Obama's concealing those records because he doesn't want to go through that. But I don't think so. This guy's arrogant. If he had really good stuff to put out there, he'd put it out there. Why? Why is everything so hidden? Wasn't he supposed to be so transparent?
Well, I mean, as an African-American person, I think that in order for him to be the first black president, I think that his record would have had to have been almost a perfect record, because
yes, I think it
would have been imperative that the first black president be a perfect candidate for that office based on the history of blacks in this country and the types of things that they have faced in terms of employment and in terms of trying to get an education, that the first black president be almost a perfect candidate, the same way it was when we dealt with Jackie Robinson and his attempts to break the color barrier in pro sports. Jackie Robinson was selected because of the fact that he was a person who could hold his emotions. He was seen as someone who had a lot of character. He had also served in the military, and he also was an alumnus of, I think it was UCLA. So he had all of this on his resume.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the perfect candidate for them to try to break blacks into the major leagues. And it should apply to the presidency. We as black people should have a perfect candidate, somebody that no type of controversy can be talked about. Because if he does not do well, it will prevent other blacks from attaining any type of national office.
Well, you know what? If that's the case, then Obama has messed up both ways, because all sorts of stuff came out during the campaign about his ties to socialist, communist, Marxist, Reverend Wright, you know, the whole deal. All that came out in the open, and it still didn't stop him from winning the presidency. And, you know, I suspected before this book came out and before Trump jumped on the birth certificate deal that Obama was a shoo-in to win re-election, because we don't really have a strong candidate. But now it seems that the way things are going, that conservatives, we don't really need a super strong candidate. I mean, it would be icing on the cake, really, and it would almost at this point guarantee that Obama wouldn't win re-election. And I'm including the poll numbers, the recent poll numbers that are out there in this statement. But it seems that Obama is going to have to spend an awful lot of time dealing with this issue. And it wasn't lost on many of us who heard his speech today, heard his announcement today, that he took almost verbatim the speech given by Mr. Douglas in the movie The American President. Did anybody see that movie? Did you see it?
I saw it. But it's the fact that now I think what Trump is trying to get is the college record, because if he's able to get the college record, he can see the financial aid forms, and the financial aid form may have him down as being an Indonesian citizen. So we have to see whether he wants to protect the college record, and also the law review, the record of the graduate school, in the sense that he wrote no law review articles, but he was elected to be the president of the law review. And then we have also the controversy in terms of whether he authored his autobiography and the second book. So, I mean, it's all of these things together. So, you know, this man might be a massive fraud in the sense that his only talent is his ability to, you know, give a speech and that's all.
And my dog could give a speech if you give him a teleprompter. I mean, come on, how brilliant do you have to be to read some words off of a small? I mean, you got to have pretty good eyesight, you know, to read that small letters in the small teleprompter screen. I was, as a side issue, I was amazed to see how small those teleprompters are. I mean, I'd need bifocals too. Well, no, I wear corrective lenses. Never mind. You really, how smart do you really have to be to read a teleprompter? I mean, the guy's an empty suit, and a lot of people already know that. He's not genius. He's not brilliant. You know, I mean, you can see that. I mean,
it's one record they did get, and that was the Social Security record. That has all of the jobs he's ever had. Mm-hmm. And he had one job at a Baskin-Robbins when he was a teenager. He got a small job after he graduated from college for like a year. Then he goes to Chicago as an organizer on the South Side, and he makes like 10 grand for like 3 years. Then the first real job he has was as a state senator. Mm-hmm. And at that time, he was like 33 years old. So in his lifetime, he's only had like 3 jobs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and that's melt well known. But you know, the administration is saying that the birth certificate is proof positive the president was born in Hawaii. Why do you think, Tesler, that the administration would put out a phony document if it is, and stand by it if the document isn't legitimate?
I think it's highly unlikely that they would put this out. I really do. Because that would be the scandal of the ages. What would happen is people would begin to focus on the phoniness of the document. And then, of course, the whole thing would just blow up. I think it's a legitimate question to ask about the chain of custody. Where did it come from? How did it get there? To be a phony document would be... That was And with someone like Donald Trump out there hopping on his heels, hopping on Obama's heels, that would be quite a big mistake to do that. And as American Citizen has said, he made a very interesting point. I don't always agree with American Citizen, and he's called my show as well in the past, and there's a lot of things I don't agree with him about. There's something he said when he was just talking that struck me. He said that Obama had to show that he was like the perfect candidate because he was a black man. Now, a lot of people can poo-poo that, but I don't. I don't. Because in many respects, Obama is not unlike many of the first women who rose up in corporate ranks and broke the glass ceiling. In many respects, they had to do better than their male counterparts in order to prove that they were worthy of the titles that they have. So just that degree, I think there was a certain expectation by the population of America that this black man, regardless, conservative or liberal, had to be better than the rest in order to break the racial glass ceiling of the presidency. And Obama did that. So to that degree, I think American Citizen may be correct. Now the problem is, was that presentation or packaging of Obama all that correct? No, it wasn't, I think, as we've come to find out. He was less than a good student. Born or not in Hawaii, he still is the father, according to that birth certificate, of an African person, which raises the issue of whether or not he's a naturalized citizen. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? I find it... I honestly, I don't know what to think about this whole thing. I find it very difficult to believe that the White House would put out a document that they know to be false. And on another note, I'm gonna move on just from that for a minute. We now have political pundits. We now have talk show folks like Tavis Smiley coming out and saying that this is all racist. This is all racism. And that the upcoming 2012 campaign is going to be the most racial. You saw it? Okay,
racist.
Go ahead and speak to it.
I saw that bullshit. what they're trying to do is they're trying to throw a preemptive strike on the 2012 election. In other words, if you don't vote for Obama, you're a racist. And they're trying to get that message across to the independents, to the folks who don't really follow these issues like we do. You're voting for that white man? Oh, you racist, man. You racist. And I think it's a preemptive strike to try to get that issue out there. I think it's a trial balloon. I don't think it's going to work, and here's why. Because if America was a racist country, as so many of these liberals and socialists accuse us of, then they would never have elected Barack Obama in a million years.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for the white vote, that man would not be president today. So don't tell me this country is racist. Don't say that, and don't say it after the fact.
You want to speak to that, American Citizen?
Well, I think that's definitely true. There was a definite demographic that Obama was able to get. I heard today he got 69 million votes, and McCain was able to get like 50 million. But there's a definite demographic which is young and which is well-educated that wanted to see a change in the presidency and wanted to give this man a chance. And he presented himself a certain way. It's whether the presentation was actually true or not. I think that's what we're trying to find out. Evidently, he is a very good politician. He gives a very good speech, but part of the presentation that he presented was that he has a brilliant mind and that he was an excellent student and that he was a person that did not have a lot of experience, but also like Abraham Lincoln, he stated that he was able to bring people together. That was one talent that he possessed, and he ran on that. And we have yet to see whether, you know, like all of this packaging is actually true or not.
Yeah, that's true, because, you know, we did have a president who was nearly equally, in my opinion, unknown in Jimmy Carter when he ran for the presidency. And he won, with massive support when he won the presidency.
Right.
And in fact, he became president because the previous president was embroiled in had a dark
right.
cloud over him, much like my guy George Bush had when Barack Obama ran. It seems that America seems to turn to this this idea of hope and change
right.
whenever we have a president who is perceived as being a poor president and leading the country down the wrong path. So in this case, I hope that history holds true and we and folks begin to realize that Obama is not the man. He's not the man he said he was, and he is not running this country in a responsible way, and that he gets his walking papers and he gets a trip back to Indonesia or Hawaii or Chicago or, you know, wherever he wants to go. He takes that one-way ride.
But the main mm-hmm. difference, I think, with Jimmy Carter is Jimmy Carter had been the governor of a large state. He had served in the Navy,
yeah.
and he didn't have this whole kind of controversy in terms of his church attendance. He had
yeah.
been a Sunday school teacher, whereas Jeremiah Wright recently revealed that black theology was also tied to the Socialist Party. So I think if all of this had come out in the media that Obama was attending a church in which the main pastor he was preaching a black theology that had its ties to socialism, I think if this had come out in the mainstream media during the election, it probably would have changed some voters' minds.
Yeah, I agree. You're absolutely right. It remains to be seen how all this is going to go down, how it's all going to play out. It seems that Obama should have released this document long ago. One wonders why he didn't do it. And by doing it now, so late in the game, it just seems to me that he has just made a bigger mess out of this situation. And finally, I think that finally folks are really getting the idea that this guy is running this country into the ground. I mean, tomorrow's show is going to be all about the disaster that this guy has made out of this country financially to date, and how it may spell the end of his presidency. That alone, now add these other controversies to the mix, and it spells doom for President Obama. But be cautious, because I wouldn't count him out just yet. He is smarter than he looks, even though I don't believe that he is as brilliant as everybody else says he is.
Okay, Robert, let me ask you this question. Let me ask your audience this question, the folks in the chat room. One of the things that I so disliked about the 2008 campaign was the utter and abject failure of McCain to go after Obama in a manner in which he should have. Now, he brought on Sarah Palin to sort of be the attack dog and put a leash on her and then held her back. But I ask you this, and I ask your audience this and the folks in the chat room, what if McCain had gone after that birth certificate issue with the same fervency, with the same resolve, with the same attack dog fervor that Trump went after him for? Don't you think that the election results would have been a lot different? I do.
I think that a lot of things would have been different, especially that I do indeed. But the problem is, McCain would only go so far. He is
right.
A man of honor, and
please. Yeah, he's a man of honor for his military service, and I'll never take that away from him.
Mm-hmm.
His years in North Vietnam were something that all of us should pay tribute to for what he had to suffer. But that was then, and this is now.
Yeah.
And now, I don't feel he is the same man of honor that he was as a serviceman. He is not a man of honor as a politician as he was as a military person.
I cannot dispute that. I think I largely agree with that statement. Citizen, jump in.
Yeah, well, I think that McCain's campaign was badly managed, the same with Clinton's campaign, and I think that there were forces at work to see Obama put into office. I think it's no coincidence that you have a president with a full Islamic name now. I think that this is like an appeasement to the Middle East, because I think that there is an oil crisis. I think there is an oil crisis in our world, and the West is trying to appease the Middle East so that they're able to control the oil market.
Yeah, I think so too. However, I consider myself not so much like Donald Trump, but I consider myself to be a reasonably intelligent guy, and I just have a hard time wrapping my mind around all of this being a vast conspiracy designed to put one man in office in order to control anything. I mean,
I would agree.
Yeah, and I just, yeah. I wonder how many people, when you really think about it, actually would believe that, you know, all of this was prearranged years in advance. Now I have the book right here. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm not selling this book. I mean, it just kind of sounds that way. The Manchurian.
Yeah, are you an affiliate? Are you get a piece of the commission or what?
No. I'm talking about the Manchurian president right here by Aaron Klein. Yeah.
Do you have an affiliate link I can click so I can buy and then you get a piece of that?
No. Well, yeah, actually I do, but that's not why I'm doing this. I'm just because we're talking about it right now. The Manchurian president suggests exactly what a Citizen has been talking about, and I wonder if Citizen, have you read the book, The Manchurian President?
I've heard about the book. I haven't actually read the book, but I'm very familiar with the movie, The Manchurian Candidate. No, I haven't actually read the book. No.
Okay. Well, when you speak to if I read you correctly, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're alluding to the fact that Barack Obama may have been engineered and pre-planned for him to become the president for some nefarious, diabolical purposes. I don't mean that you're saying nefarious and diabolical. I just like to use those words every now and then. But
there was a Dr. Al Mansour that who happened to be an Islamic scholar that came into Obama's life very early on, like towards his early adulthood, and there was a Frank Marshall Davis who was in Obama's life,
mm-hmm.
who was a known member of the Communist Party.
Yeah,
Mr. Davis from Hawaii. That's right.
Yeah, and these two individuals knew Obama from like a teenager to like a young adult. They knew about him, and Obama's father also had ties to Marxism as well. And I do think there is a socialist wing inside the Democratic Party. This Communist Party in the U.S. has always wondered if this country would ever move towards a social democracy like you see in Spain and France and Germany.
Yeah.
And I think that this socialist wing inside the Democratic Party would like to push the country in that direction. And you have people like George Soros and maybe, you know, some of these other people that are billionaires, but they also have a socialist agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that with the combination of all of these factors, you know, the ones that have placed Obama, like, in the presidency as we speak, because I think if you look at all of the presidents, it's unprecedented that you have all of these men with Anglo-Saxon names, and now this man comes with a full Islamic name. So it's going to be in the record. You've had 44 presidents. They've all had Anglo-Saxon names. Now you have a man with a full Islamic name. That is going to be like, you know, something that people are going to wonder about. Like, what happened at this moment in history, you know, that, you know, the country was able to elect. I'm not saying the country should be against people who are of Islam or whatever, but it's not in the comfort zone of the country to elect someone with a full Islamic name. It's not, because most people don't have detailed knowledge of Islam. So
yeah.
The average person would wonder about that name. What are his origins if he has a name like that?
Well, yeah, and I agree. But I also believe that George Bush's presidency sort of helped usher Obama in as well. In fact, And if there was a conspiracy, and I'm not saying that is the case in my mind, that maybe Obama was pushed along before he was really ready, due to what was considered might have been considered fortuitous circumstances, that the Bush presidency was so so poorly thought of. And Tesla, you want to talk about it?
Yeah, you know, events unfold in a certain way that we don't always know who we're going to come across or what we're going to do. And I'll give you a good example, Robert. A good example is you. You know, a long time ago, many weeks ago, I heard one of your first radio shows, or one of your radio shows, and I liked what you had to say. And then subsequently, I invited you on to my show to co-host. And from there, you know, contacts are made. Networks become formed. People begin to support people you know. And this is how, you know, we evolve. This is how we evolve in business. This is how we evolve on Blog Talk Radio. And this is most especially how we evolve in politics. So I believe what has happened is while the socialists were waiting for their candidate, their Manchurian candidate, if you will, then along comes Barack Obama. And then there's talk, and he gives an address at a Democratic convention. People all of a sudden pay attention. He's the man. Let's talk about him. And I think this is how it all evolves. And so people begin to coalesce around those they support, just like conservatives have begun to coalesce around your radio show, and as they have mine, because of somebody a very long time ago who supported my show, as I supported yours, you know, you begin to coalesce around people who are of like mind. It's not a conspiracy, per se. It's just a subtle way of supporting those who think in the same direction. And I think that is what has happened to Barack Obama. That is what happened to Barack Obama. They coalesced around a man, and the added benefit, oh, my God, he was black.
No doubt.
That's what did it.
Take the last word, 30 seconds. The show is over. Take it away, citizen.
Well, you know, he released this document to try to stop Donald Trump from, you know, just trying to continue with, like, any type of criticism against him. And, like, I don't think it's going to work, though.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you all for listening. Glad that you were here. I'm going to go ahead and get ready for GDT show. Thank you all for being here. I really do appreciate it. I'm going to get in touch, get in this book, and then we'll talk. We'll talk some more later. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, man.